Hey, welcome. All right, let's go.
Enjoy your stay.
Come on. So we've come down today to pay our respects to the Anzacs, and it's only a small group of us here today, with full expectation that the system would send a large unit of police to terrorize us and intimidate us. All we tried to do today was be respectful at the front of the Shrine of Remembrance. They've sent about possibly 100 police officers to surround us and bully us into leaving the shrine today. Obviously, we don't want to make today political. That's not our purpose today. In fact, our purpose is we are frustrated and upset, I think like most white Australians, at the constant politicization of our sacred holiday. And we believe that the shrine has been turned into a desecration of what our ancestors fought for, their values, and the fact that they fought for a white Australia, and they fought for king and country and the British Empire. And they have turned the sacred day and the memory of our ancestors into a political bargaining chip. They've turned it into an opportunity for them to promote their liberal, diversity, multicultural, and sodomy values. And I think our ancestors would be rolling in their graves to know that their deaths have been made in vain by these political prostitutes that wish to turn their memory into political victories for the current ideology, which is hopefully very soon to be replaced with common sense, family values, pro-God, and pro our European heritage. Today, we've written a letter to the person that's in charge of the Shrine of Remembrance, Mr. Dean Lee, and I'm going to read that out today. Dear Mr. Lee, I, Thomas Sewell, on behalf of the European Australian Movement, denounce and condemn in the strongest possible terms your actions as of late with respect to the promotion of degenerate homosexual propaganda at the Shrine. The reason why we're saying this is because right now in the Shrine they have made a specific section purely to homosexuality. And I think under the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and the Anzacs that fought and died for this country, they fought and died for a time where it was about traditional values, family and God, I think that they would be disgusted to know that there's a homosexual pride lobby in the bottom of their sacred temple and the temple of our ancestors. The Shrine has, since its creation, been intended to be an apolitical sacred site, dedicated solely to commemorating and honouring the brave Victorians and Australians who served their nation in war. It is not a place for cultural Marxist elite like yourself to satisfy their appetite for self-righteousness and politically correct point scoring by deracinating the very foundations of the institution you claim to represent. In July of 2022, under your leadership, you had the audacity to recommend the shrine itself be illuminated in rainbow lights. The machinations that led you to this repugnant idea speaks volumes towards your inability to comprehend not only what the Anzacs stood for, but also what constitutes treason and the betrayal of our nation. Given you have no qualms defiling one of our most sacred sites in Australia in the pursuit of your sinister agenda. Furthermore, you betrayed the legacy of the Anzacs when you allowed the raising of the satanic LGBT barbecue flag on shrine grounds, as well as installing an entire gallery dedicated to the promotion of faggotry. We, as custodians of the true Anzac tradition, and not the warped version we are force-fed today, refuse to accept the incursions of the LGBT mafia into our most sacrosanct of institutions. We echo the actions and beliefs of the former president of the Victorian RSL, Bruce Ruxton, who refused to normalize this sick homosexual culture at the shrine, as it offends the values that our diggers fought and died for. We recognize and respect the fact that our white ancestors built and fought and died for a white Australia. They did not die at the Somme for multiculturalism, nor did they sacrifice themselves at Kokoda so their grandsons can befoul their legacy, which is precisely what you have done through your treasonous actions and those that support you. The RSLs are on record passing motions in support of the policy. Furthermore, two or more of our most famous prime ministers, Billy Hughes and John Curtin, both invoked the White Australia policy as the prominent reason for fighting in the wars. Charles Bean, the founder of the Australian War Memorial, advocated for the policy, and the diggers fought to that end as they knew in order to preserve their freedom, traditions and culture, they had to ensure that their race survived. The generations of Australians who bled for this land did so not for rainbow flags or rainbow lights, but for the glory of the Australian flag and the white Australian nation. The European Australian movement calls upon the shrine to remove this vestige and manifestation of homosexual perversion from what should be a beautiful, pure and sacred site. We implore that you come to your senses and recalibrate your broken moral compass. Our morality points true north to the pride of Australia and the pride in our forefathers, and a pride in the spirit of the Anzacs, not this sick, satanic degeneracy infecting our societies and usurping our Anzac legend. The term, lest we forget, implicitly emphasizes this sad fate as a consequence. You, sir, have forgotten the Anzacs, but we will not forget you. Regards, our organization, European Australian Movement. Lest we forget.
Lest we forget.
Yes.
Well, there we go. A bit of a an Australian show, I guess you could call it, guys. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Well, I hope you got something out of that. You might have even learned something. So I need a quick break because I'm nearly at the 15-minute mark, you know what I mean? So let's top it off with a little bit of this.
Hey, True Blue, don't say you've gone. Say you've knocked off for a smoker, and you'll be back later on. Hey, True Blue. Hey, True Blue. Give it to me straight, face to face. Are you really disappearing? Just another dying race. Hey, True Blue. Is it a cockatoo? Is it standing by your mate when he's in a fight? Or will she be right? True blue, I'm asking you.
Well, I'm Bob.
To keep the show on the road. Hey, True Blue.
Is
your heart still there? If they sell us out like sponge cake, do you really care?
Hey Robert, welcome back, old mate. My True Blue shorty short pants dude, man. True Blue, man. Wow. John Williamson, bloody hell, what a trip that was. Listen to this. This is a German.
It's just the audacity with which they do this.
Let me have a look at this. It's a German MEP. I don't know what that stands for. Medical experimental person, maybe. Christine Anderson the global rollout of mRNA COVID vaccines. Okay, I only guess for 2 minutes. Let's give this a go. Listen,
I mean, they are elected officials, and in a democracy, you have to act on behalf of the people, and you have to act in their best interest. But that's not happening anymore. It really isn't. They serve all kinds of interests, especially in the last 3 years. We've seen they were, you know, pretty much serving the interest of pharmaceutical companies, coming up with this, you know, ridiculous mRNA shot, calling it vaccine. And they had no regard and no concern for the safety of the people they were injecting with that stuff, or like by the millions and billions. So that is a completely new quality of atrocity that they reached at this point. And it's
isn't it
dire circumstances.
It's amazing how they're just kind of all doing it. And it's,
yeah, they are.
It's scary.
Yeah, they are.
And
it is. And the most scary part about this is they seem to be reading all from the same script. It's, you know, like the terms they used, you know, build back better, safe and effective, and no one is safe until everyone is safe. But, you know, these are just words.
This is one of the funniest interviews I think I've ever seen. Apart, if they hand shook, they just have to slightly just move over a touch, just probably not even move. And then this woman has got a massive microphone just holding it there halfway between them. I'm like, what the hell is this all about? One's Indian, one looks, I don't know, freaking English or something. And it is the weirdest thing I've ever freaking seen. Why would you do that? It doesn't make any sense.
Or, you know, flaunting around, but
how you going, Lou? Good to see you, man.
You know, no one is safe until everyone is safe. Oh. So obviously it means, well, until everyone got the injection. But is anyone safe with that mRNA shot? I don't think so. And you know what we've seen up until now, and there is still more to come.
Hey, what's up?
More every day.
How you doing?
And I've said that before, and I will say it again. This whole vaccination campaign, it will go down into the medical books as the biggest medical scandal ever.
Wow.
And yes, it will be known as the biggest crime to ever have been committed on mankind.
Wow. The biggest crime ever. We got some sinister people going on out there, guys, if you know what I mean. We got some sinister, sinister dudes, man. They want us gone, if you know what I mean. Look at our food. Look at our water. Look at our depletion of our soils for even something like a freaking banana that might not even be, well. But luckily, if bananas are dry, growing on a lot of volcanic sort of structures, they're probably good. You know, they could probably get away with it. But all these other depletion of the soils, and you're making me sick. You know what I mean? I think what we're going to do to clean this planet back up, which can be done, we can turn every bit of plastic back into a fossil fuel, all right? Into a fuel, into generators, blah, blah, blah. E30 fuels and all these other bloody aspects. So plastic's not a problem. We can solve that pretty quick. But maybe God wanted to experience plastic. There's another option. So who are we to judge about plastic? Even that, you know? I don't know if he'd be very happy about experiencing a wind turbine. Maybe one of them, and the guy, well, that makes sense that that sucks. But humanity decided to keep on going with it. You know what I mean? Just because we've got the capabilities, it doesn't mean that we have to use them. Put it that way. Oh, look, we can blow up half the world, or we can crack the world in half. Oh, here's a technology. Let's try it out. Yeah, all right. All right, you got it. You know what I mean? Oh, look, let's create a Hadron Collider that can bring in antimatter spirits into the realm of our dimension. Wow! That would be fantastic. Wouldn't that be great? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, until it decides to kill everything. Yeah, freaking weirdos. The world's run by complete and utter nutjobs. Every aspect you look at. I mean, they show us clips of the moon and that, like, or even now in some Asian country, and you can see bubbles. You can see that they're actually underwater. I mean, it's hilarious. So some of it is actually very embarrassing to believe these shenanigans, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know where society's going, to be honest with you, because I see a lot of stupid people, man. I think we're just getting dumber and dumber, to be honest with you. I think we're really getting dumber and dumber. We're getting aware, yes, but we're very dumb to other aspects of life. But that's okay. That's okay. The world will work itself out, and we will structure humanity to the level where it needs to go. But I just see that humanity might and is starting to realize a lot more. Like when I went into conspiracy things, say like 20 years ago, we were like nut jobs and, you know, weirdos and all these things. Now it's virtually become a common norm. It's really weird, you know. If I was to do a protest about a certain thing 20 years ago, I'd probably gather 3 people, you know. Now I could probably gather 3,000, who knows, 300,000. It depends on my context, you know. It's just incredible how the internet can work like that. And I think they're going to attack it, man. I really do think they're going to attack the internet this year. Especially. Maybe next year, between now and 26. You're going to have like iris scans or whatever, you know, all this other crazy shit. Proof of identity, so no matter where you go, man. And that's what I said about, you know, VIPs and all these other things. They can get you. God, come on. You know, it's not. They created these things, you know. You're probably on more of a watch list having all these things than anyone that doesn't. I don't have jack shit. I don't give a freaking flying crap. Got nothing to hack. I've got no money. You can't steal from your account. What do I give a shit? Go for it. Go for broke. Not paying freaking money just to have this hiding thing or that freaking antivirus thing. If I get a virus, good. I don't give a shit. I'll just fucking do what I've got to do to my damn device. It's stupid. But I do believe, and I would do it if I was in their power, this is why I believe it, is that they would actually, you know, implant these things to make it look like, oh, the paranoid community, you know. Hey, welcome to the room, Em. Yeah, good to see you. But, you know, think of a better way to gather the people that are trying to hide things. Well, you would literally create a program that these paranoid people that are trying to hide something, because they obviously want to hide something. I mean, you know, for the 2-5% probably that are legit like myself that would try and do it, you know, just for privacy, just like I piss off anything. It would be nice just to have a little bit of, but it's keyloggers and all this sort of crazy shit. Yeah, mate. Don't kid yourself, guys. Core browsers and all this. Tours and bloody onion ring. They create half this bloody crap, man. And if you're that sort of a creep or something, but that's what I said, it's mainly all the freaks that go, oh, well, I've got this covered now, I can do this and that. No. You're busted, man. Everything goes from that to that. It's already, before it even goes from that out and then you're that. You already got a logging system on your freaking computer, your device, anything from your freaking pings, you know? You're not private because you've got a ping. Anyway, I don't even know much about it. Shouldn't talk about it, to be honest with you. All right, let's get into this.
All right, well, the World Health Organization has made major changes to their pandemic treaty, so it's not the power grab
Welcome to
that
the room.
Been freaking out about. It's still a power grab. I'm still freaking out, but less. So I'm not going to call this a win. I'm going to call it progress, because at least the WHO knew that we were hip to their plan to usurp sovereignty of all member nations. They're not trying to do that, but they still are.
Now, this one goes, she's going to talk for 80 minutes, which is not very appropriate on here on Strange Days Broadcast. It's a massive win against the WHO in pandemic treaty. I don't even know what she's talking about. She's already boring me, but I'll give it a couple of minutes. Let's see where we go here. I remember listening to about halfway of her, but yeah, she gets a bit squeaky, you know what I mean?
Trying to grab power. So at least they were listening. They're like, oh, our evil plan's been thwarted. We better dial down the evil a little.
Or
but
hide
the
it.
Plan is still in place.
Yeah.
Well, let's look together at these changes, the nuances of them, and you can decide whether or not it's hidden. Is it still there? I still don't want
I can't to- do it. I can't. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it. I'm sorry. I'm getting nauseic, man. Something about her. She's probably a lovely lady, but I can't. I just can't do it. All right. Let's go on to the next one. Now, this is very interesting. It doesn't go for very long. I'm not even going to say what it's about. That's right. This is secret men's business happening right now on Strange Days Broadcast. You know what I mean? All right, let's go. Listen carefully. It doesn't go for long. Hey, welcome to the room. We've got to listen carefully just for about, I don't know, probably even 20 seconds, man. Listen to this. All right.
So are you saying Benjamin Netanyahu deliberately boosted Hamas to try to prevent a Palestinian state?
Yeah, sure. He deliberately and systematically even told this on record, whoever wants to avoid the threat of a two-state solution has to support my policy of paying protection money to the Hamas.
So what we did, with the permission of our prime minister, is to let Qatar to transfer a huge amount of money in cash, probably more than $1.4 billion. By doing it, we increased the power of Hamas. We did everything in order to make sure that Hamas will go on controlling Gaza, and Palestinian Authority will control the West Bank, so they will fight each other.
Bloody hell. Bloody hell, man. Where are we at? Just got to check the time here. Oh, bloody hell, we're half an hour into the show. Hey, how you going, Derek? Derek Korzeniewski? Yeah. How was that? Korenz Gwinsitsi? Yeah, that's pretty good, man, for a pretty fly for a white guy, you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm pretty fly, man. I don't know what sorts of linguistics. Oh, he burped. He burped online. He screwed up. I'm sorry, my friends. I'm sorry. Actually, I don't want to talk about it. You know what I mean? Do you know if you're looking for trouble, that I'm the man to see? Really, when you think about it. If you're looking for satisfaction on strange days, it's guaranteed. Yeah. I'm actually pretty much smoother than a body on ice. I'm hotter than rolling dice. If you know what I mean. Bloody hell, that was quick, Oz. I excel myself. Let's play a song for Uncle Robert. My 52nd listener in the room, guys. Let's get the whole thing rolling now. Let's do it. Robert, if you're looking for trouble, I'm the man to see. There's no doubt about it between you and me. Wow. You're killing it, Oz, man. If Robert's looking for trouble, I'm the man to see. Take you to hell. Hey?
I ain't fooling. Can't you tell? I'm a live wire.
I'll take you to hell, my friend.
I'm a live wire.
I got you.
I'm a live wire. Woo! The sickness coming by.
If I excel myself, Robert, hey? Get off the bloody work bench. Say yes. You make soldiers of us, man. Need some loving. I'm the man to see.
Need some man.
You got the phone and the number. 418-63295. Get my harmonica out for this little intro, so I'll just find it. Do, 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 where are you? Ah, there you are. Oh, I was blowing it at the wrong end, man. Oh, I'm gonna get a bit. That's bad. I'm trying to use the harmonica. Woo! Wait till I get my guitar and I can use it as a drum beat. Boom, boom, boom. Hey, bloody little legend. All right, this is clean. She sounds good. She's ready to rock and roll. Let's try and do a broadcast.
Thank you.
I am a crazy man. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Very unique. Very, very special. I can play all sorts of crazy. Talk about at the moment. I've got to be quiet because we've got some drama here. I'm going to go ninja. Did you know I've done ninjutsu, Robert? Oh, yeah, done all sorts of stuff. I've done ninjutsu, a little bit of hapkido, some Shaolin monastery sort of things from the kung fu styles of Yip Man. Wing Chun sort of styles. I've done all sorts of styles, man. You should see me. You know the weirdest thing, though, Robert, and anyone that's probably going to listen, is that I'm not much of a boxer when it comes to that art or a wrestler. I'd love to learn groping, you know what I mean? Like, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu would be one on the top of my list. But anyway, apart from that, I've got a fond feeling for Wing Chun. I've always had a natural, because I'm very fast. Even though I'm 6'4", I'm actually a real fast thing. Like, I don't know, my reflexes, I've got a talent with that. And I think that's why Wing Chun... I'm not sure of the art that Siegel does, but it sort of works on the basis of Wing Chun, you know, using the dynamics of someone else's energy against their own energies. So you take them down pretty quick. But with the Wing Chun style, it's everything is speed. Like, if I was to slap you in the face before I gave you a good boxing hit, like, onto the jaw, which if you want to take someone out, guys, don't stop, like, hitting around the head and that. Just hit them on the lower part of the jaw, man, on the side, and you usually, because there's an electrical magnetic field that comes up into the brain and that paralyzes you. And you can actually slap people and do it. You don't even have to hit them. Yeah, man. Yeah, try it. Next time you have a fight, don't worry too much. Just aim on that area and whack that or slap it really hard, you know. Knock them out. If you're on the ground and someone's on top of you, you'd be surprised. About probably, you know, 6 inches, 8 inches down from the groin, that little skin around that area of your leg, you'd be surprised how freaking sensitive that is, man. Like, you just pinch it now, and it's like. And that's a great way to get out of a situation, you know. You can use lighters, you know, if someone's, especially those ones that go straight away. See, there's a lot of things you can use that people don't realize, and never let it get to the second level. If someone grabs you in that and says, "We're, you know, just behave and everything will be all right," no. You're better off dying there and then than going through where they're going to take you. You know, it's hard to really even talk about that. But I know forensics and shit. I watch too many real life shows to not mention it. You know. You never let it get past the first stage, because there's usually three stages. You've got the first stage of abduction, you get the second stage of compliance and going along with the abduction, and then you got the third stage where you might not ever be seen again. So you're better off fighting if you're going to die, and you, it would be better dying there and then, believe you me, than going to the third stage with these monsters, you know. So, yeah, yeah, it's just the way society is, guys, you know. Ah, it's a sick world to think about, really. But I want to play you something that's I found this really interesting today. I come across. Ever listen to this? It's about America.
What's happening on America's college campuses is horrific.
America college campuses.
Anti-Semitic mobs have taken over leading universities.
Anti-Semitic mobs? That is a straight up lie. What it is U.S. college students protesting an ongoing genocide.
I don't know. I can't remember that. I tried to when I listened to it to remember the context of it, but I can't actually remember the context. This young fella's, he looks probably about 18, 17 maybe. Might even be 16. It's hard to tell these days. But anyway, if you're an American, I think you might find this really interesting.
Genocide that's currently being led by that man, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. All of this started at Columbia University, where their students have been protesting against their school because their school administration is invested in Israel. And let me tell you, genocide is not an investment opportunity. These students have been trying to get Columbia University to divest themselves from Israel, but Columbia University hasn't done so. These Columbia students were even attacked by two former IDF soldiers who infiltrated a protest on campus carrying a dangerous chemical agent called skunk, which they used to attack the students. And so these students and these groups have continued to protest. The student body even passed referendums saying that the overwhelming majority of Columbia students wanted the administration to divest themselves from Israel, and still the university didn't do it. The movement decided to stage a protest and camp out on campus until Columbia decided to divest from Israel. But the school wasn't going to stand for the right. They knew that if they did, they'd end up like Claude Inge. They'd end up like UPenn. They'd be fired from their jobs for standing against Israel. And so they called the NYPD and arrested over 100 protesters. They expelled and suspended dozens of students. And in reaction to this, colleges across the United States staged their own sit-ins, and more arrests have been made in Manhattan, in Yale, at Harvard.